Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to
Learn to Like Each Other. You know, we did two peas in a podcast for so long that I have to do a
mental check.
Do you have to do that too?
Yes, I do. Yeah. You started, and in my mind, I'm thinking, what are we doing? What's our show?
Yes.
What's our show?
Learn to like each other.
It is a relationship show. And for those who are new, thanks for tuning in. We're going to break down some breaking relationship advice later on in the show. Last week was about love.
What's love got to
do? It was really good, but you know what, Stephanie? Before we get into all this love relationship business.
Yes. Stranger Things. So Stranger Things?
Yes, Stranger Things. The boys and girls are back in town. We've got, I'm bad with names. So Dustin is here. Mike is here. Max is back.
Steve
is here to save the day. The Hopper's here. Everybody's back. They're here for adventure. Off for a summertime romp around Hawkins, Indiana to find the missing treasure and save the world.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Missing treasure.
Accurate.
I feel that it's so close to like... It's just got that Goonies, Monster Squad, E.T. vibe of a bunch of kids in the 80s running around the forest. All those movies were like that. And it was so good. It's such a good show. And no spoilers. And I know the show's only been out since like Thursday. But I just still already feel so behind.
We were talking about it because I said, I feel like because we haven't made it through all of it, I feel behind. I feel this weird sense that we have to finish it tonight because if I go into work Monday and haven't finished, it's dumb. Like
It's going to be spoiled.
But it's also such a good show.
Well, I'm excited to get in on it. And I feel that this season really brings the heat. All the gooshy, gross monsters are here. And I'm excited about it.
One thing that Del was telling me about is there's an actress that's new this year and she's blonde and she works in... This won't give anything away. She works
Ahoy,
in the ice cream
Scoops
store
Ahoy.
With Steve. And we were playing in the sandbox with Carly and Del said, hey, like, do you know who her parents are? And I didn't. But he had me guess because that's more fun. And her parents are.
Well, let me give you a hint.
Yes.
It's Maya Hawk.
Such a cool name.
Maya Hawk. And oh my goodness, she plays Robin and she is great. She's great.
But she is the child of Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman. And the second Del told me,
boom.
Boom.
Boom, 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 boom. Stranger Things. There it is. That's what it's all about.
So I don't think that spoils anything, but it does add a layer of when you watch now, you're just going to see Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's beautiful faces.
You see them separately, but at the same time.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Well, and we were talking about how good she is, because I was like,
why is she such a good actress?
Why is she? She acts with her whole body and face,
her whole heart, mind, her soul. She's putting Steve to shame. Steve, get your crap together.
I do love that her parents were both in Hollywood and they've done a lot of cool things in their career, and then she turned out she's good.
She might be a terrible person. I don't know.
No.
Great actor. Actor. And yeah, I do like this show. We are a few episodes in, but instead of spending 4th of July weekend binging Stranger Things, we went to the beach. We had family time, and I think that's the most important thing.
We did. We went to Brighton. It was good.
Went to you. We got some folks, saw Grandma and Grandpa. It's a good time.
We did also watch more Love Island.
We did watch Love
Island.
I'm
a little scared to talk about it around my phone because lately. Everything I say
well,
has been...
Hulu.
Yeah.
It's only does like a week at a time. Mm-hmm. They'll give you like 5 episodes every Saturday or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we just blow through them. That's why we haven't done Stranger Things. And then now we don't have him back until next week. But in England, where it's live, they're way ahead. And
so jealous.
My phone's trying to be helpful because that's what Google is. They're just help. They're just trying to be helpful. They're giving me the spoilers, and I'm feeling you. Have you gotten any? What is any spoilers?
I know. I keep getting spoilers, and I can't stop myself. I have no self control.
Anything interesting that you're looking forward to seeing?
I'm not going to tell you. I'll ruin it for you.
I want
to
know what's if they're giving you different ones than me.
Ooh, we should check later.
I've got one. I'm not going to say any names.
Don't tell me.
There's a new boy coming in that apparently people are upset about the way he chats.
Chats. Ooh.
His chat patterns are very weird, apparently. And so I'm very interested in this boy. So, but this week, though, does start, I think today, the 9th, the day of this release, the U.S. Love Island starts.
Oh, yes. So, I was talking to my coworker about that.
Next week, we could either be very happy or very sad.
Oh, yes. There's way too much good TV.
What other shows have you been watching?
Love Island and that's it.
Yeah, Love Island and Stranger Things.
That's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time. It's a commitment. You know, we go outside when it's nice, and then it gets too hot. We turn on the Stranger Things. It reminds me of summer of my childhood, minus the monsters, and then we go to bed.
You know what else? We did do bad movie night with our friends.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron and Scott and Eric and Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you need to give the recap of these because Del picked them. Did you pick both?
Yeah, I'm kind of I fancy myself a curator of the good, bad movies. You know, everyone knows The Room. You know The Room. Ahaha, yes, The Room. And then people say like, oh, Sharknado? No. A bad movie, a good, bad movie has to have an overblown plot, a seed of an idea combined with purity of heart in its creation.
There is an earnestness that needs to exist. But
yeah.
So we started doing bad movie night with friends a while ago, and we just get together, someone picks a bad movie, and we just go for it.
And so this week it's slipping my mind.
Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
I was thinking Miami Express or whatever. Oh, yeah. That was the name of his boat, but it was a Hard Ticket to Hawaii. This movie is Andy Sedaris makes these movies where there's two, basically all the characters, the female characters are played by 1980s Playboy bunnies.
Or penthouse bunnies.
And it's like this action movie. So, okay, these people are in a witness protection program, these ladies, and they, part of their witness protection is working for a cargo transport company. And one day they get a snake in a box that they have to take to animal reserve along with this book about how to take care of it. And the snake is also contaminated by cancer rats. Actually, it's a mix em up because it's an other snake that they're supposed to take, but they accidentally get the contaminated snake.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long story short, there's a diamond thing and some drug guys, and a guy on a skateboard gets blown up by a bazooka.
There's exploding toilets. There's explosions.
There's exploding snakes. There's exploding toilets.
Word of warning, there's lots of boobs for no reason.
There are unprovoked boobs.
Delk likes to call those scenes like boobs for boobs' sake.
Boobs for boobs' sake.
And they just don't, it's just really distracting.
It's very distracting. It's very distracting. I want my content. I want my bazookas and my snakes. And so this movie's got everything. It's got ninjas.
It was a really good bad movie.
It's incredible. It's so wild. We watched. You might have seen the YouTube clip of the skateboard guy getting blown up on the bazooka on YouTube.
It's fantastic.
Look up Hard Ticket to Hawaii skateboard scene, and that's
you
need.
Good.
That's all you need.
We rewound that twice.
And then we watched The Apple, which is a 1980s film. It's kind of your classic pop star from, I'm a singer-songwriter from the country coming to the big city to make it big, but they want me to sell out. But it's 1980, and it's set in the faraway, distant dystopian.
So it was filmed in 1980.
And it's takes place in the dystopian future of 1994.
Whoa.
And it's filmed in some, old West German, airport, and
it's very brutal.
They're
like the sets,
basically a music corporation run by Satan is trying to take over the world, and there's music. It's a musical. It's disco future. It's fabulous. It is incredible. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Aaron loved it so much that he said now when people come over to his house, it's mandatory that they watch it.
It's a hated movie. Like the IMDb Rotten Tomatoes reviews are very, very bad. But like this is, the music is good.
I feel like it's actually a good movie.
It's bonkers. It's a bananas off the wall. Makes no sense.
I think
at
it's
some
just
point.
Too far ahead of its time.
Too far ahead of its time. Too crazy. It makes no sense, but then all the sense in the world. My favorite part of the whole movie is that there's BIM Hour, which is Bigelow International Music. They have taken over the government to now where there's world mandatory exercise every day.
Oh my gosh.
And they have to wear a BIM mark, which is a little triangle. Everyone has to wear the sticker.
Oh, so you guys aren't so it's probably not coming through, but it's dystopian. It's meant to be set on the book 1984, but 1994. Yeah. So there's some government control.
1984 with music is what the writers intended. Yeah. So there's BIM Hour. There's mandatory exercise. There's one scene. There's firefighters. There's a blazing building on fire. And the firefighters, when the hour starts, they put down their hose. The fire is burning. And they have this choreographed dance number. And there's surgeons stop and they do their dance number. And everybody just stops.
Everybody.
And it's incredible. It is so hilarious. I was laughing so much. I found so much joy in this movie. It is purely made. It is.
And I think that one's PG incredible. Or something, right?
It's PG. Yeah. It's pretty wild.
It's fantastic. I think you could look, it's pretty good.
You could look back at it and there's some, might be some problematic aspects to it for sure. However, if you are in for pure enjoyment of an hour and a half of mind-bending nonsense, The Apple's where it's at. Streaming for free on Amazon Prime. Totally worth an hour and a half. Love it.
I think so. It's funny.
It's no Stranger Things.
Well, what is?
What is? But it's incredible. Okay. This is our movie podcast is now over. Now time for the rest of our show. Stephanie, thank you for letting me
indulge. It's our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want.
I am so happy that you let me just blab on and on about these movies. I'm so excited. Any takeaways that you had before we move on about the movies?
I just was really, I thought that was the best bad movie night we ever had.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Okay, good.
Well, we were all into it. It was fun.
I was here for it.
Good times.
Yeah, I will be watching The Apple again.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm okay with that. We could have a party themed The Apples because the outfits were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's like disco come to life.
It's like disco, Hunger Games.
Yes.
1984.
Yes. So good.
Okay, Stephanie. So we're here because we're a relationship podcast. Oh, yeah. So bring the relationship.
So I thought this time I would talk about articles that I keep getting targeted by whatever again. And this one I thought could be helpful because it's talking about science and changes. But I thought the information could be helpful because I think knowing changes can whatever. Anyway, so
yes, knowing changes is helpful.
Well, I'm going to say what it is because then that'll make my long exposition more helpful.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about how bodies change for men and women once you have kids.
Oh.
So disclaimer, this is definitely a heteronormative men and women have a kid together and whatever. All the research is conducted in that way. However, we all know someone that has a child or two or three or whatever. So I think it could be helpful there.
I am in for it. My body did not change a lot that I could tell during your pregnancy.
Oh.
I stayed a similar size. I did not grow anything inside of me.
That being said, I thought I didn't go into this realm of research, but I was interested to see if someone adopts or I know a few people that have taken in family members' kids. In that case, I was wondering how bodies could change then.
Yeah.
Because you, anyway. So.
Next time.
I know. Maybe next time.
But I didn't notice my body changing, but apparently it did. So it did. Bring it at me.
So these articles are from the New York Times, Flow, which not really a source I wanted to go to, but it was such a good article.
Mm.
So Flow is an app that tracks your period. But they also have really good content. I couldn't find another source that compiled it as well.
I feel that's a... I'm laughing, not because of what the app is, because I find it's very important and probably a really, really cool tool, but just that they had such groundbreaking research.
So the New York Times, Scientific American, and Crusoe. Or the author in Scientific American is Catherine Crusoe. But.
Okay.
So for men... Mm-hmm. You're a man.
I am a man.
You have a baby in your life now.
I have a baby.
So there was a school of thought that men's bodies don't change after kids because the thought was that women's bodies are primed to change because women mm-hmm. endure pregnancy.
Oh, and that's what you were made for.
And cleaning.
And cleaning.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Cook, clean.
Barefoot birthing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So the author says that there was this idea that men aren't primed for parenthood at all.
Mm-mm.
And she says right off the bat, that's just not true at all.
Really?
Isn't that a bad idea, though, when you think about it? Like, well, you didn't bear the baby, so why would you change?
Mm-hmm. I get that. I get it.
So the author's argument is that being a parent isn't an instinct. It's something that you learn.
Really? Yeah. I think a lot of things with mammals, they just do stuff. But I feel like with humans, we get off the hook on a lot of that instinctual stuff.
Yeah.
But we have to learn a lot more.
I know. I feel like when people don't know why something is the way it is, I often hear people default to, well, it's just instinct. It's in our nature. And that's such a hard thing because I guess I don't know the research there, but I don't know how you prove that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get a group of babies and you ask them to rob a bank and see how they go about doing it. And they don't know. They've never done it before. What's their instinct?
Little masks.
It's so cute.
So basically, everyone goes through hormonal changes after babies.
Okay.
So, yep. So, in men, one of the things they found is that after a baby, there's a huge dip in testosterone.
Oh, boy. Why is that?
Well, so first of all, what does testosterone do?
Mm-hmm.
It plays an important role in male fetal development and puberty.
Okay.
I think I might have put that word there incorrectly. Male development during puberty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's thought of as the hormone that pushes you to mate with someone.
Oh, yeah. Testosterone. That's why they make X. You can get extra testosterone. Oh,
do they make like a testosterone?
It's called testosterone X. You spray it on your skin, you get extra chest hair. It's incredible.
I don't feel like it's working that way for me at all. So the idea is that once you have a kid, the need to mate in order for the kid to thrive kind of needs to go down for a hot minute.
Because
if you're just out mating all the time.
Who's going to help with the baby if I'm just out mating all the time?
I know.
It's terrible.
So an anthropologist, Dr. Lee Gettler, did a 5-year study. And that doctor followed a group of 624 single, childless men in the Philippines from ages 21 to 26.
Okay.
And the study found that men who became dads over the course of the study saw a larger dip in testosterone.
Okay. Well, and it probably helps, too, in a monogamous relationship for me not to be all, like, horny when you're like, I just had a baby and I don't want to do anything.
Yep.
So it's probably helpful that way.
Yeah, I think so.
Nature. It's a natural.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to add other than, yep.
Yep. Cool. Well, carry on.
They've replicated studies like that in other countries, and they've basically found similar results.
Wonderful.
The interesting little tidbit is...
To be fair,
they're not 100% certain what exactly causes that dip in testosterone.
Okay. You have a good idea. But when you're publishing like journals and articles, it's not just like, we don't have any actual proof, but we have a pretty good good feeling.
Well, this is where the theoretical part, like, okay, we think this is why I can come in, and you're supposed to build that off of a bunch of things.
And that's where theorists come in the game, huh?
Well, I'm like, this is such an interesting conversation, but how is theory built?
Anyway. Ooh.
So, in addition to testosterone dipping, there's also brain changes.
Ooh, really?
This one is interesting.
I'm excited about this.
So there was a doctor, Dr. Pil-young Kim, and Dr. Kim put 16 new dads in an MRI, not all at the same time.
I was picturing that for a minute. Wow,
you can barely fit one person in an
this
MRI.
Is a good doctor.
So they did a few different MRI scans of brains. They did one at 2 to 4 weeks. And then one at 12 to 16 weeks for the age of their baby.
Okay.
So one when your baby was 2 to 4 weeks, one when they were 12 to 16.
Okay.
And the scan showed that certain areas within parts of the brain, oh, this is a direct quote because I could not find a better way to summarize it. Certain areas within parts of the brain linked to attachment, nurturing, empathy, and the ability to interpret and react appropriately to a baby's behavior had more gray and white matter between 12 and 16 weeks than they did between 2 to 4 weeks.
Really?
So, yeah.
My brain's just like, got to take care of that baby.
Yeah.
Reorganize. Blah, 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 blah.
So in like a span of a few weeks, the parts of your brain where you learn to care about a little human develop.
That's so sweet. Thanks, brain.
And so the end of that article kind of went on to say that men don't have the exact same hormonal changes that women go through. And we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, I bet.
Woo! However, their brains do adapt over time.
Okay.
So the ability to be a parent
does just kind of kick in.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I thought it was cool.
I think that's very cool. I didn't realize that I was becoming such a good parent because I was trying very hard and I felt I was not doing very well.
Well, do you feel like your brain has evolved in like nurturing? So they say nurturing, empathy, and reacting to the baby.
I think so. I think I don't know if it's naturally or if it's because I've been trying to, but I think I am better at reacting to our daughter's needs as a baby. Better, if I really honestly look at it and think about it, it's like there's no way I could be this much better at it by just wanting to be. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be that best dad, but some of the stuff I find myself doing, I'm just like, why do I do this? Like, why do I feel this way that it gives me this passion to take care of her? It's just my body's just saying, you got to do it.
I think the other thing I'm thinking, first of all, you're a really good dad. But secondly, when I look at the time span for the scans, so they did it at 2 to 4 weeks. And I can remember at that time feeling like, why isn't he responding to her needs as quickly?
My brain, babe.
Do you remember
that? It's not
there
yet. Yes, I do.
But then I remember by the time we got to 12 to 16 weeks, like you were on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that was like me asking and we had a lot of conversations. But I do think part of it was probably your brain just hadn't like.
It's my brain. It doesn't know. It doesn't know. Come on. It hasn't evolved yet. It's still back in the old.
Still chugging.
Still chugging along in singles life brain. I'm still trying to catch up to married life, let alone baby life. Jeez, come on.
I wonder what the marriage scans would show.
Similar things, probably.
So that's a bit about men. So mm-hmm. Let's also talk about women. And this is specifically talking about women that have gone through a pregnancy and then given birth.
Okay.
So there was a study published in Nature Neuroscience, and it found that during pregnancy, women's brains change.
Really?
Shocking. So a team of neuroscientists, what do you think their team name was?
Team Cranium Crunchers.
Team It's Not Brain Science, JK.
It's not rocket science.
Brain surgery.
Brain surgeons.
I merged those. Whatever. So a team of neuroscientists did brain scans of first-time moms. And they did one before pregnancy and then after pregnancy. And they ended up finding that there were gray matter changes in the brain. Like when they compared the scans. I thought it was good. I was like, yeah, you definitely have to do a first-time mom, because if you did a second-time mom.
Second-time, third-time moms seem to be just like, whatever. Like, if you ever talk to a mom who's had a couple kids and you talk to them about pregnancy, it's like the most lackadaisical, I've been on this ride before.
Kinda. I know.
Like, have you ever met someone who's gone to Disney World like 7 or 8 times and they're just like, oh, what you gotta do? Hit up the teacups first before you go on Splash Mountain, or else there'll be such a huge line. And yeah, that's kind of what it's like. So yes, the first time mom, I think, is key on this one.
I know, because for me, for first time mom, like, everything is beautiful and special and unique, and I don't want anything to be ruined. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there were gray matter changes, and they found that brain regions associated with social cognition and theory of the mind changed. And so they also found that that change was sustained until their kid was at least 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
So it went on to say, like, so there were brain changes in, like, social parts and different parts of the brain, blah, blah, blah. Sorry. And so this is a quote from the article that said, when they looked at these scans, they, and I quote, predicted women's scores on a test of maternal attachment and were so clear that a computer algorithm could use them to identify which women had been pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
So I think that's it for the brain scan. Basically, your brain changes.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to read more studies on that, there is, like, study after study on how women's brain change.
That's amazing. I will say, like, your vigilance and reaction time to things is generally pretty high. But with the Carly being just born, you were, like, through the roof, like, on it. Like, superpower, precog, you're there, you know? And it's pretty impressive. And terrifying, very impressive.
Well, part of that stuff is brain. Part of it is hormones.
Okay.
So, during pregnancy, there's... Oh, wait, there's more to the brain part. Oh, sorry. Let's come back.
Is that so? Pregnancy brain is a thing. I got pregnancy brain.
Well, yeah. So, sorry, I had more about the brain scan. I normally like highlight and font, and I didn't highlight a part there. Okay. So why does this brain thing occur? So during pregnancy, there's a surge of estrogen and progestin and a lot of other hormones. And in a woman's life, there's only one other time that there's a surge like that.
Okay.
And it's puberty. And so they think that what causes these brain changes is this, like, huge surge and change in hormones. And so they think that brain changes are associated with that.
Oh, wow.
And so they say that, like, what happens during puberty when there's that surge, and then what happens as a result of pregnancy, is that you end up losing the parts of your brain that you just don't even need anymore.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So it's efficiency extraordinaire comes in, the problem solver green belt comes in, and it's just like, nope, 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 bloop, bloop, bloop. It's all baby now.
We need
all
to Six baby. Sigma this crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. Wow. Yeah.
So you just stop.
That's the theory of why it's doing what it's doing.
That's crazy.
Well, and it happens in puberty too. Like, you get this surge and change and your brain changes, and it's like, all this other stuff I needed when I was 8, I don't need it anymore.
Mm-mm. That's wild. The miraculous brain.
This part must die so other parts can live.
True story.
I'm reading ahead to make sure that I don't have any more brain stuff. Brain. Okay, hormones.
Hormones. We got the brain. Now we got the hormones.
So there's a lot of hormones.
You'd mentioned it earlier that there were a lot of hormones.
So we're going to briefly talk about relaxin, oxytocin, prolactin, progesterone, and estrogen.
How is relaxin? Is that real?
Yes.
Because that name is too hilarious to be real.
Honestly, that's the one I miss the most.
Oh, yeah?
So I was doing a yoga video in my first trimester, and this yoga lady was like, do this pose, get all that relaxin going, that great hormone. And I was like, is this one of those yoga hormones?
It sounds like it's a yoga hormone.
I was like, is this thing not real? Turns out it's real. It's for sure real. And so it's a hormone that during pregnancy is secreted by your ovaries, placenta, and uterine lining during pregnancy.
Okay.
And so what it helps do is loosen muscles and ligaments.
Relaxing.
Yes.
I just love that they called it. What should we call it? What does it do? Relaxes you. Relaxing. Next.
I liked it because I love to sleep on my side. Mm-hmm. And when you're get big enough, like you're only supposed to sleep on your side when you're pregnant. And I could sleep on my side when I was pregnant because I had all this relaxin in my body. 2 days after giving birth.
Couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it anymore because it hurt my body.
Yeah.
Sad face.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So, like, during your pregnancy, this is secreted, and then it helps keep, like, muscles and ligaments loose so your body can adjust to a baby coming in. Mm-hmm. Basically, as soon as you give birth.
It's gone.
It's gone. So you see that released from your body.
Wow.
So there's a hormone change there.
That's amazing.
And they say that like pregnant women are more likely to have sprains and stuff like that because this relaxin is in their body.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Next. Oxytocin.
The good stuff.
So this is called the So this is called the love hormone. So this also plays a role in relationships. We should come back to that. We should make a note for talking about oxytocin.
Oh.
Okay. So, right after you give birth, you are flooded with this hormone coming in. Mm-hmm. So, it goes from zero to like, well, I don't know if it's at zero.
You're like, give me that baby.
Yeah.
Give me that baby. Skin to skin, I feel great.
You know, I wonder if it does do that.
Probably.
Hmm.
That's our theory. Probably.
So, this is a quote. So, oxytocin turns on mothering behavior, and one aspect of that behavior is being able to see danger in your child's world.
Mm-hmm.
So when oxytocin goes up, so can anxiety levels.
Oh.
So you see this hormone being released. It's loving and it's great, but now you're having all these other things, so you can have more anxiety.
And that's that extra vigilance, like Batman reflexes.
Yes.
From dangers and non-dangers that maybe could be dangers.
Mm-hmm.
You're all on it. Thanks, oxytocin.
When you said that, I was like, it almost sounds like a breakfast cereal.
Thanks, oxytocin. It's great.
The next is prolactin.
Mm-hmm.
So prolactin is the hormone that stimulates milk production and stays around for as long as you breastfeed.
That's crazy. So it's just like, oh, you're breastfeeding and now you're not? Okay, well, bye.
Bye, prolactin, I'm here.
All of these hormones are just like, I'm here. Okay, now it's time to go.
Bye, guys.
It's so in sync with your what you and your baby need.
Isn't it amazing?
That's pretty wild.
So prolactin can also have an impact on your behavior. Your metabolism can change, come and go. Your immune system, and then fluid regulation.
Hmm.
So when that ebbs and flows and dips or whatever, you can see these other changes in your body as well.
Okay.
Last two, progesterone. So this one is produced in your ovaries. And over the course of your pregnancy, it goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the purpose of progesterone is it prepares endometrium and its vessels to feed a growing baby.
Aww.
So without this.
No food for the baby.
Yeah, so having this in your body is fantastic.
Awesome.
But the second you give birth.
It's gone.
Yes.
Ugh, ghost you. Out the window.
Ghosted you.
Down the hall.
Progesterone ghosted me.
To the next baby birther in need.
It comes, just like feeds your needs and then.
Bye.
It's gone. Last but not least, our favorite hormone, estrogen. So this is also produced in ovaries. And it also, like, picks up over pregnancy. However, this one sticks around.
Good.
So this one sticks around afterwards. But there can be an issue. So you want the right levels of estrogen. Mm-hmm. And there can be issues where if you have too much estrogen in your body, it can cause a lot of other different health issues, like weight gain and body swelling and stuff like that.
Oof, that does not sound good.
Yeah. So if you're having issues after you have a baby, you could get in, like, have your estrogen levels checked.
Okay.
So the overall summary is, after reading all of these hormones, there's a lot of, I mean, people joke about the hormonal changes that women experience, but it really is a lot.
It is a lot. That is very many. Brain changing, hormone changing, more hormones than when you were going through puberty.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But I think it was also interesting. Like, I feel like we often dismiss people and say, oh, they're just crazy. And I feel like people say, oh, it's just hormones. It's like, yeah, it is. But that's real. And don't just dismiss its impact away.
It might be just hormones, but those just hormones are doing a number on your whole deal.
Yeah. And if your spouse doesn't react as fast as you,
it's their brain's not there yet.
Yeah. Just give me 4 to 6
weeks. They got slow man brain. Listen, you're the one with the super lady brain. When I get there, I'll get there, and I will be right beside you the whole time.
Aww.
It's very cute. I'm very excited about this stuff. It's very cool to learn. So thank you for sharing that with me today, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Any final thoughts on the changes of our bodies during pregnancy?
And after. It's really a miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Aww. Well, thank you, Stephanie, so much for sharing that. And if you are a listener, enjoyed what you heard, we have a lot more episodes, 113 episodes of this kind of awesome information that you can check out, share with your friends. If you have a question about relationships, we've probably talked about it, and we're going to keep talking about it until all relationship problems are solved. So
this podcast will be on forever.
Forever. So go subscribe. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on all of the other podcast platforms that you can think of. You can go to our page at facebook.com/learntolikeeachother. Also our group, where there's some discussion happening about that. And don't be afraid to hit us up online. Say hello. Give us a rating and a review. That would be super wonderful. And if you watch the Apple, let us know, because it's our new favorite movie. Stephanie, before we go, is there anything else you'd like to share?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other very, very, very much.